Ramsey TV.
Martin Zender at the edge of the bottom of the peninsula, trying to wake up here at 5:02 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, wearing my sunglasses. You're probably wondering why the sun is not up yet, because as I said, I'm trying to wake up and my eyes look like two pee holes in the snow, thus the sunglasses. Today I'm gonna be using a word in the title. I probably won't use it too much during the talk because, believe it or not, that word kind of rubs me the wrong way too, but it's needed here. We're talking about the F word. I'm not using it as a slang for sexual intercourse. I'm not using it as a curse word like effing this, effing that, why the F is life so hard. No, I wouldn't do that. That's not that kind of guy. You can be that kind of guy, it's okay, or girl, but I just don't necessarily like it. I'm using it in the sense of mess with. Don't mess with God's anointed. The question might arise, well, why don't you say mess with instead of that word? It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe I'll morph over to it. But you are anointed by God to be a member of the body of Christ. Anointed is just, well, the kings were anointed, as I've told you before, with oil, a mixture of olive oil and other precious ingredients in order to show God, to show his favor on someone. We talked earlier about the word saint. A saint is someone who's separated to God, somebody who's designated beforehand by God for a special place. So one who is anointed by God. And the examples I'm going to give are Moses and Elisha and certainly our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah, which is anointed one. And I'm going to use Paul too, but I'll probably give that example tomorrow because it's so great how Paul was fucked with. Yes, they did. There was a particular man who fucked with Paul and it's not going to go real well for that guy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to get to that tomorrow because it deserves its own show. But I guess this is a warning even for each other, because we in the body of Christ are all anointed. And you must respect the office. And the office here is a member of the body of Christ. And there is to be a general respect for all people. And in the scriptures, of course, love your associate as yourself. But above and beyond that, someone who is anointed, someone whom God has separated, designated beforehand, and separated for a special task, you don't want to fuck with that person. You just don't. First example I would like to give you is Moses. Moses was designated beforehand by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Now, just like one who's designated a saint, separated to God, or one who is anointed, that is given a purpose by God, these terms, sainthood or anointedhood, these make no comment whatsoever upon anyone's intelligence. In other words, you don't have to be smart to be a saint or to be anointed. It doesn't make any comment whatsoever on one's moral fortitude. That is, you don't have to behave yourself perfectly or at all, really, to be an anointed one or a saint. Even, as I told you before, the Corinthians were called saints, even though they were not the most admirable bunch of people on the planet. Nevertheless, if you're God's anointed, you have a protection around you. Yes, you do. You have a special added dose of the Spirit of God. You have it in greater volume than most people because you have to in order to understand the things of God. So God looks upon you favorably. And he's very sensitive about anybody fucking with you. Okay? Now, example I want to give, first of all, is Moses. We all know, maybe you don't, I don't know, Moses was not the easiest guy to get along with. A lot of the Israelites in the desert thought Moses was a real jerk. Some of them said he was a joik. Moses is a real joik. Well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Moses was God's man appointed to lead Israel out of the wilderness. And as we know, God chooses those things which are unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. David is another example. He was ignoble and weak. I wouldn't say he was unwise, but not everybody fits every part of this broad category. I mean, you can be unwise, weak, but you might not be ignoble and stupid. You might be stupid and unwise, but you might not be weak and the other one. So you don't have to be all four things. Moses, I don't know, he might have been all four things. But there was a group of people, the sons of Korah in the desert, who decided that they were going to stage a campaign against Moses, because everybody was murmuring about Moses. Moses wasn't doing things right. Moses was kind of an ass. He was making things difficult. He just wasn't the greatest administrator. So the sons of Korah thought they would get up a competing tabernacle. It's like they were going to have, they were campaigning. They had their own campaign and they were running for office. The Korahites, they were running for office and they were getting people to vote for them. Come to us, we're going to have a competing tabernacle. You tired of Moses? Don't blame you. Moses is kind of a joik. Come over here, we're the sons of Korah and we will lead you across the desert. Not understanding that God chooses whom he chooses. And he doesn't base it on whether or not somebody's a joik. So, I don't know if you remember what happened to the sons of Korah, but God was not pleased that they were fucking with his anointed. The sons of Korah, if you look them up in the dictionary, sons of Korah, you will see a group of people who fucked with Moses. And what happened to them was God, on a particular day, he said, if I were you, everybody just move away from the tents of the people of Korah. Why? Just do it. And we know what happened. If you don't, I will tell you. The ground opened up and swallowed the sons of Korah. Now, the sons of Korah may have been able administrators. They may have been pure geniuses. They may have written self-help books. They may have appeared on the talk shows of the day. They might have been more eminently qualified than Moses to lead the people across Israel. Doesn't matter. There's many people probably more qualified than you, more qualified as far as technical issues, as far as if the world were to choose someone to administrate the universe, to administer the universal kingdom with Christ. There are many people more qualified than you as far as, you know, taking this practically. But it doesn't matter. That's the beauty of this thing. If you're anointed, then you are the man, you're the woman, you're the member of the body of Christ, and people fuck with you at their own peril. They do it at their own peril. I'm going to give you an example. Even in the body of Christ, the greatest example is Paul. I'm going to be getting to that tomorrow. So another example is Elisha. Elisha was coming. He's going from Jericho to Bethel. It's 2 Kings 2, 23 and 24. This was Elijah's servant who got a double portion of Elijah's power. His name was Elisha. Problem was, it's not a problem, but this guy was bald, didn't have much hair. Now, who would pick a bald guy, you know, to be such a great prophet? Aren't prophets supposed to have long, luxurious, Israelite-style hair and just big, dark beards, and aren't they swarthy? Aren't they supposed to be like worthy of the cover of Gentleman's Quarterly? No, not this guy. He was bald. And there was a group of boys. This is in the Bible. Why is this in the Bible? Well, it's in the Bible to show you that you don't fuck with God's anointed. He's on his way to Bethel from Jericho, and a group of boys came out to mock him as he was on the path to Bethel. And they said, quote, "Get out of here, Baldy." Quote, I quote, this is in the Bible. "Get out of here, Baldy." Well, Elisha was a good guy. He kind of just brushed it off. Go to hell. I don't know. Probably didn't say that. He probably just took it like a good man. But not God. Oh, no. No, God wouldn't. God would not have it. So God sent a bear, and the bear mauled 42 of those boys. I don't know how many there were, but the scripture says a bear came down and just mauled, just like tore them up. Why? Because they fucked with God's anointed. Obviously, Jesus Christ would be a perfect example, because there he was. He's growing up in your neighborhood anonymously as the Son of God. And needless to say, as he grew into adulthood and became, he was anointed. He was always anointed, but he formally assumed his office as he's baptized by John in the Jordan River. He comes out of there tempted by Satan, goes to Nazareth, reads from the scroll of Isaiah, and some of the natives didn't take it too well, and we know what happened. He got majorly fucked with, and Jesus said it's more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for this generation. Oops, they're going to get mauled by a big bear. They're going to get mauled by a big bear. Now, it's not to say that the people who F with God's anointed doesn't mean to say they're not saved eventually. It doesn't mean that. It just means to say that if you're anointed by God, you have not only a sheen, as I like to call it, of protection around you, but God defends you. God defends you. God will stand up for you even if you do not stand up for yourself. And we are not supposed to stand up for ourselves. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, "Judgment is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." See, Elisha didn't have to repay those boys. Elisha didn't have to flip them the bird or throw an insult at them in return. All he had to do was keep walking on. And then here comes the bear down from the mountain, and Elisha looks behind him, and the boys are getting torn up by the bears, and Elisha just goes, "Huh, well, there you go, there you go." And he walks on to Jericho. Beautiful. We don't have to do it. God will do it for us. Now, the other example I'd like to give you is the disciples of our Lord. We know that these were fishermen, common people, tax collectors. And they were the lower strata of the social ladder back in that day. And our Lord sent them out, right, to the roads, the highways and byways of Israel to testify to the kingdom of God. And when one of those guys knocked on your door, it was a big deal. This was God's anointed showing up. And Jesus said, if anyone takes you into their home, then bless that home. They're good to go. But if they reject you, slam the door in your face, probably with an expletive. "We don't take salesmen here. Sorry, didn't you see the sign?" Well, Jesus said, again, it's like, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than that town. They will be judged in the resurrection. Why? For fucking with God's anointed. "Don't you see the sign? No solicitors." Yeah, so you do not have to defend yourself when you are fucked with, even by fellow members of the body of Christ. Because remember, we all appear at the dais of Christ, and there will be an adjustment made there. Nobody's going to not be saved. Nobody's going to lose their place as members of the body of Christ. But even if we fuck with each other, it's not good. Not good. And there's going to be that fuck with is going to be burned up. Our discolored works will be burned up at the dais of Christ. Paul says these will be saved yet as through fire. So the fire is going to test each one's works, right? Each one's works. You got to respect the office, even among each other. So if I have somebody in the body of Christ that I don't like, and there are some people in the body of Christ who aren't likable, I am respectful of the fact that even though this person is maybe unlikable or doing things that are unlikable, that's a member of the body of Christ, and I have to be careful. Paul says, let us do good to all. Let us do good to all, but especially to the household of faith. Why especially to the household of faith? There's two reasons for it. One, because they're members of the body of Christ. Treat them with some respect, with some dignity, first of all. Second of all is, even though you're one of God's anointed, they are too. So you're fucking with God's anointed. Do you realize that? It's a big deal. It's stupid. Don't do it. You say, but Martin, we're in the era of the grace of God. God is not reckoning people's offenses to them. That's true. And this is in relation to them suffering eternal death. This is in relation to, you know, the Romans 3, in that there's no one righteous, no, not one, and everyone deserves, everyone apart from the saving work of Christ on the cross, everyone deserves eternal death. That's the penalty of sin, is death. Death, not eternal torment. But even in this era of grace, don't fuck with God's anointed. Because even for believers, there will be a requital. There will be not a judgment, but there will be an accounting given at the dais of Christ. And any foul or discolored or gratuitous evil done to each other, it will be dealt with there, and it'll be burned up. And yeah, there might be a puff of smoke. It's like, ooh, it might smell bad for a second. Oh, that stinks, man. You know, like when you burn a dryer vent or something, it smells bad, doesn't it? You ever burned a dryer vent, put it in the fire? It smells terrible. So it might be kind of something like that. Your insults, your treating badly other members of the body of Christ, when that gets burned up at the dais, it's going to smell like a freaking dryer vent being burned in a campfire. Okay? Don't do it. Now, tomorrow I'm going to give you my favorite example of respecting the office. I'm going to give you my favorite example of the most gracious, probably the most gracious person in the body of Christ there ever was, the person who knew the most about grace in the body of Christ that there ever was. Speaking of the Apostle Paul. Now, you might say the Apostle Paul had a double anointing. I mean, not only was he a member of the body of Christ, but he was a teacher in the body of Christ. So he had a special position within the body of Christ. And you double don't want to fuck with him.